Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into the heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have entered life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him."
Please, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be blessed in your sight, that our vision may be lifted to see what you would have us see. Amen. This is a beautiful text from the third chapter of John that the lectionary has given us to consider this morning on our Lenten journey, this the second Sunday in the season of Lent, that period of preparation before the joy of Easter each and every year. This lifting up that comes in the scripture where we know that one verse so well, right? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." But this lifting up that is referred to in this text is rich with symbolism, because we know that we have someone in Jesus Christ, someone who was lifted up, someone who has seen the promised land, the eternal promises of God's goodness and God's love for each and every one of us. But we have many others too. God is a God of undeniable desire to reconcile with God's people. And so we have the prophets of old. Moses is referred to in this text. Moses, who saw the promised land, who led the people with a growing knowledge that he may not get there with them. But he led the people faithfully, and so it has been through the ages. We have had people come to us. God has been good indeed. Amen. To send us people who have shown us the promised land, who have given us a vision of what the healing and the fullness, the wholeness of a life lived into God's vision and into God's realm would be like. And so Jesus refers to this in this passage, to this idea of lifting up. Let's explore that together today. We hear him say, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Well, what is he referring to? Do you know? Can you dust off maybe a Sunday school class or a sermon from long ago and remember? It's an account from the book of Numbers, from the 21st chapter that accounts what happened as Moses led the people through the wilderness. And did you know it's a pretty similar story? They're traveling around the land of Edom in the wilderness, and the people, here we go with the typical part, become impatient. The people become impatient. Don't you know? They always did with Moses. We always do today, don't we? The people became impatient and they spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" It's a pretty justified statement. They've been wandering around now, not for a few days, not for a few weeks, not even for a few months, but for years. For years, and their faith is getting stretched to the edge. Stretched to the edge. Don't you know that every rubber band has an edge to it? It has a point where it becomes frail. And don't you know, every rubbery thing, as it stands open to the air and the dryness, it kind of gets that crunchiness to it. And sometime when you go to open up an old elastic, you stretch it out and it just pops in your hand. That's a little how they were after all those years in the desert, a little dry, a little stiff, a little sick of it. Wouldn't you be too? I certainly would. So they ask Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." And then, friends, the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And many of the Israelites died. The very people that God was saving. Doesn't seem to make sense, does it? The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpent from us." So Moses prayed, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and wherever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. That person would look up, would look at that serpent on the pole and live. The people were wandering in the wilderness, and God had gone to great trouble to rescue them out of slavery. God had a vision and a purpose. So I've been wondering, why would God want any of them to die? I don't think this is a statement of God's vengeance. I think those serpents that bit at the heels of those Israelites, the serpents that came and bit, were a reflection, a real lived expression of how they were looking down, how in their complaints, their concerns were about trivial, small things, about their worries and concerns. But they were the kinds of things that drew their eyes down, that drew their eyes away from the horizon, from the promised land, from that thing to which God was drawing them. Do you hear it in the story, this serpent of bronze that is made for their healing and their wholeness is set up on a pole, as if literally to draw their eye back up, back to the horizon, back away from these trivial or small things that were nipping at their heels. Because the way they were talking and the way they were quarreling and the way they were wrestling with Moses and with God spelled death for them anyway. It was as much a death for them to wrestle in that way as it was for them to literally be bitten by a snake. Do you see the meeting of the figurative and the literal in this narrative, in this story? The wandering in the desert, the wandering that we often do, the wilderness of life, the struggles that each and every one of us face. Sometimes we forget to look up, to see the Son of Man lifted before us, to see the promised land, to hear the word of hope, and to allow ourselves to carry it in our hearts in a way that keeps our eyes on the horizon and not on our heels. Because truly, there's always something nipping. There's always something troubling. There's always something worrying. Today, it might be our health. Tomorrow, it might be something in the world around us, the fears of the coronavirus, the state of our nation, the state of the refugee crisis in our world. There is always something pulling at our heel, nipping at us, reminding us of the pain and the death that potentially attacks and eats at us, bites away. And yet before us we have this image, Jesus saying, "For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world." This so loved world of God's, this so loved humanity, you, this so loved person. God seeks to redeem and to know, and before us is set the promise of healing and wholeness and eternal life. And how is it that Jesus is to be lifted up? We know this narrative as we make our way toward Holy Week and Easter. Lifted up on a pole. Lifted up, this symbol of healing and wholeness, nailed to a cross. The Orthodox Church has this term, homolipi. Isn't that a beautiful word? Homolipi. It's a combination of two words, homo, which means joy, and lipi, which means sorrow. And during the time of Lent, they understand joyful sorrow to be a focus. Homo lipi. Hara, joy, and lipi, sorrow. Joyful sorrow combine in the season. A statement of our own experience, a paradox of this time we move toward. It's used by the Orthodox Church for Christ's crucifixion because through that crucifixion, we receive the resurrection. Through the crucifixion, we receive the resurrection. Through sorrow, we receive the ultimate joy. These two are interwoven because the one great truth is that we cannot have the crucifixion without the resurrection, and we cannot have the resurrection without the crucifixion. The two events are inextricably connected, and we are called to live out this tension, this connection between joy and sorrow, and to ultimately thrive within that connection. Within that reality for each and every one of us, lived out in our human experience as it was in Jesus' human experience. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Homolipi, joyful sorrow, woven together. It's true that those serpents brought an ultimate healing, a snake cast in bronze, set up on a pole. By looking up at that serpent, the Israelites were saved. They understood God's purpose and had healing and wholeness. In the same way, Jesus Christ and this time that we walk towards is an image for each and every one of us of the work of God in the world, the saving grace that God comes to share through Jesus Christ. Friends, as we walk through this time in Lent, may we be reminded not to focus so much on what is at our heels, but to look instead upward, to focus on what God has before us. For the Son of Man is lifted up before us just as Moses lifted up the serpent, not that we might focus on the cross itself, but that we might recognize through the crucifixion the joy of the resurrection, the two inextricably bound together. And in that vision, that we might have the courage to continue on through our own wilderness experiences, that we might have the courage to trust in God's healing. And yes, to be aware of what is around us, but to be able to speak the hope and the faith of a God who sent the begotten one, God's only Son, into the world, not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. Amen.